Good job, Kevin, coming up on that. I mean, Ryan, coming up on that, given that most Americans don't see what the problem is about showing ID to vote when we have to show ID to do anything and everything else. Even the communist in New York said people wanted to help shovel snow had to have two pieces of identification. I still don't know why that is the case. Jonathan Savage is here, which means we're going to have some good, clear information from our great Fox News correspondent and WJR contributor. Jonathan, always a pleasure.
Always putting the pressure on me, aren't you?
Good to talk to you again. I call it like I see it, and you've never let us down. I'm not sure what the president's thinking when he does things like this, but this isn't the first time. Apparently, in a phone interview with CBS News yesterday afternoon, President Trump said the U.S. war with Iran could almost be over.
Yes, he said the war is very complete, pretty much, and that the U.S. was far ahead of schedule. The Israelis also say things were ahead of schedule. He made a number of remarks yesterday to President Trump. He did a number of interviews. He told Republican lawmakers that this was a short-term military operation. He went on to say, we've already won in many ways, but we haven't won enough. That might suggest things are going to go on a little bit longer. And also on Truth Social, he warned that death, fire, and fury will rain upon Iran if it stops the flow of oil through the Strait of Hormuz. Again, perhaps suggesting that he's willing to keep going depending on how events unfold. We should also remind ourselves that War Secretary Pete Hegseth promised that things were only just beginning on Friday in another CBS interview, although today Secretary Hegseth said it's the president whose foot is on the throttle. So I think that it's fair to say that President Trump would like things to end pretty quickly. However, it's not entirely clear how close they really are to that happening, especially now there's a new supreme leader in Iran who, by all accounts, all the evidence is pointing to him being at least as hardline as his father.
Jonathan, think of this. We have heard that he was at least as hardline as his father. But now look where he is. He lost his wife, his mother, his father. I'm not sure who. He lost a lot of people so far. He's not going to say, oh, well, I think I'll just throw in the towel now. This guy's in it till he's dead. And I don't know why anyone isn't saying it, because maybe they're not supposed to say something like that. But don't you agree that if he was a hardliner before this, now he's untouchable?
He also lost a son, Mojtaba Khamenei, and he was known, as much as he was known, which wasn't very much, for being very closely linked to the Revolutionary Guard, which is the internal security force that suppresses dissent with an iron fist, also close to the spy network, the intelligence agencies of Iran. He knows all about the deep state there. He knows about confronting external and internal threats, does the new supreme leader. And bear in mind that the role of supreme leader is actually meant to be a religious one in this theocracy. There's a lot more to him than just as a religious leader. You talk about, you know, he's there for life. This is meant to be a job for life. You're meant to do it until you die. He's only the third supreme leader Iran has had since the Islamic Revolution in 1979. But President Trump warns that the 56-year-old won't last long. And Israel's defense minister, Israel Katz, calling him an unequivocal target as well. Perhaps then, Paul, it's no surprise that we haven't seen him. He's not made any public appearance or comment or statement, certainly not sticking his head above the parapet at this point. He was in the shadows before he was the supreme leader. He never gave an interview or public speech then, very few photos or videos. We may not see him for some time. There are reports actually he was injured. Secretary Hegseth was unable to confirm those reports. So there's so little that we know about his status or his goals, his identity, his philosophy, other than putting together the pieces of the jigsaw puzzle as you and I have been doing.
You know, I think you alluded to this. Maybe it came right out and said it. Jonathan Savage, Fox News correspondent, WJR contributor. This guy, and I'm not even going to try to say his name because it's inconsequential to me and he won't be around long enough for it to matter, but this son of the second Khomeini, is said to be at the heart of the thousands of their fellow people, the Iranians that were slaughtered by Iran. He was said to be basically in charge of that. Have you heard that?
He certainly would be very high up, very well connected, and he would certainly know all about what was happening based on what we know of him. He didn't have a political title, but everybody who knows about Iran would know that he was very well connected to the security forces. So, that is why we're hearing people in Iran saying he's going to be worse than his dad. And the celebrations that we saw from people after the death of his father, Ali Khamenei, we've also seen people shouting out of windows, death to Mojtaba. So, you know, they're not celebrating his ascension the way they celebrated his father's death. Now, on state TV, they have shown videos of people celebrating his appointment in the streets. Some of these will be organized by the state, and there will be a minority of people in Iran who are full-throated behind the Islamic Republic as they have it. But, you know, this is someone who is not likely to change or make things any freer for the people of Iran.
I'm still stunned, Jonathan, that we haven't seen more women, noticeably the Squad and Democrats in general, stand up for the fact that women, for the first time in 47 years in Iran, have the potential opportunity to actually be treated like human beings again. You would think that would grab their attention and they'd be all for that, but I haven't heard a thing from the outstanding Democrat women who are always outstanding talking about other issues.
Look, I can't talk to American politics. I'm not best placed to talk about that, but I can talk about how the role of women is being highlighted right now by the Iranian women's soccer team in Australia playing in an Asian Cup tournament. They've just played their final match of that tournament, and their participation has been very much in the spotlight because of how they responded in their first game, refusing to sing the national anthem.
Their national anthem. They refused to sing the Iranian national anthem, so you know where they stand.
And then in other games, they were singing some of them and saluting. The crowd who were there to see them, the Iranian fans who were there to see them, were smuggled in the flag of the old Iranian nation rather than the current flag. And it would appear that the women on the team bus, the coach, were giving SOS hand signals through the window. Okay. Now, five of them have been granted asylum in Australia. The rest were offered. Some have decided that they want to go home because they're worried about reprisals on their family. Were they to stay in Australia? There was a horrible sight of one being dragged by her collar onto the team bus, and people were standing, protesters out in front of the bus trying to stop it from leaving. So, you know, this is all going to put the plight of Iranian women in the spotlight. And, yeah, let's see who stands up for them and who calls that out.
Very good point. I hadn't seen any of that, and I really appreciate you pointing that out. Like I said at the beginning of our conversation, we're going to get a great report from our Fox News correspondent and WJR contributor extraordinaire, Jonathan Savage. See, my buildup wasn't too big. You delivered.
Yeah, I tend to do well under pressure. Let's put it that way.
You always do a good job. Be careful out there, and thanks, Jonathan.
Take care, Paul. Good to speak to you.
Nice to speak with you. 1228 at 760 WJR.